to the final installment of Letter to the Church Player from a Man's Perspective. Let's get straight into it.
I have a question. Like, this is everyone. But what's your definition of dating, though? I feel like everyone has their own definition, and I feel like that's where you have to kind of like make sure that you're on the same
wavelength.
Can
I answer that?
Yeah.
For me, I think that Ricky and Nicholas hit the nail on the head in that you, in terms, I think what Nicholas said, so it's so close to my heart in that you have to get to know the person first. And that's, that basically means a friendship has to develop first, yeah? And then if emotions do develop and, you know, it then becomes an attraction, you both then have to come to a place where you have a conversation and say, do you know what, I'd like to date you, I'd like to take it further, yeah? So taking it further could look like dating. Now, in my head, dating looks like, you know, it's not really much different from what you're doing as friends, but romantically, you're, you know, when you're going to the Shard and Little Duck and Waffle, the Oxo Tower, no, I'm only joking, but, like, yes, my chest is very high,
your chest is high.
Exploring life together, like, on a deeper level. Not just on friendships, because there's things that I do with my friends that I'm not going to do with my significant other. So it's about embarking on that journey together. Like, you've made a decision to say, I'm going to enter a relationship with you. And that's because, like Nicholas said, you've got to know that person and you've both clicked and you've both said, I actually want to kick it with you. And you get to know each other on a romantic level. And dating is about exploring and unpacking who you are on a romantic, intimate level. And that's whether, you know, I know some people are like, yeah, I'm going to have sex before marriage, and some who don't. But intimacy isn't about the physical. The sex is just a part of the intimacy. But getting to know someone intimately, I think that is what dating looks like to me, being in that relationship. But then also as well, I've got some friends who are like, okay, I'm dating several guys. I want to see who can tick the most boxes for me, who I connect with the most. And so dating for them looks like, okay, you know, doing, you know, whatever it is. It could be, you know, the usual, like restaurants, museums, art galleries, that kind of stuff in open spaces, looking, getting to know each other and exploring whether you are compatible. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, you spoke well, because for me, I've always said, yeah, that dating is a form of investment, and I've been called stingy in the past by females, but at the end of the day, it's my money.
Come on, my brother. Emmanuel, you better say
your way, darling. Say your way.
Emmanuel, you better say that again. Yeah, say it again.
No, but it's true. At the end of the day, it's my money. So if I feel like, you're worth my investment, I'm not going to waste my money. And a lot of women, like you said, dating to them, yeah, is seeing who can tick their boxes. So if a woman wants to eat five different meals or from five different nations, on Monday she can have Chinese. She can have Chinese with David. On Tuesday she can have Indian with Michael. Like, and she could not spend a penny. Do you know what I mean? So she is.
Oh, she'll be having KFC with Carl. That's about it. Little snack box.
And she won't get a penny. I mean, she won't spend a penny. But as a man, yeah, trying to date five different girls in one week, yeah. Listen. That's money you're spending. Like, so as time goes on, yeah, you start to, like, for me, so I see it as an investment. So it becomes dating, yeah, when I see that, okay, you meet the basic background checks. Okay, am I attracted to you?
Are you
no, like the basic
CRB.
Not like, okay, not background check.
No,
I hear you.
Bam, GRCRB. That's
am I attracted to you?
I feel you.
What's your beliefs? Do we have the same views? So then after that, yeah, we then start to look at the like deeper things. Like, okay, how do you fit into my family? How do you fit with my friends? Like, how do you help me grow? How can I help you grow? All of these things. And then gradually again, so levels will change each time. So maybe the first time we went on a date, maybe we went to a cinema, I spent £20 at most of it. I spent £20 at most. Then the next date, as the interest starts to grow, maybe I might spend £40-80. And then gradually, yeah, money won't become a thing. Because women naturally, yeah, they invest a whole lot more in the relationship than a man. So for me, yeah, the money is being well spent. So therefore, it's an investment. Because what you're going to get back from that woman, you're going to get back a loving, caring woman. A woman that's ready to hold you down when things are going wrong. A woman that will pray for you. A woman that will support you. A woman that will do all of these things. So that's what I said, it's an investment. So for me, dating is not just, I met you today, we're gonna go on a date tomorrow. I'll only take it if I take on a date. That means there's something there that I see.
That,
not because
I agree.
So let's say one more thing. Oh, yeah. go on, you jump in.
I hear that. So for me, dating. Okay, yeah. For me, it's Ricky. Dating for me, like. That's time spent. It's less about the monetary and more about the time investment. Like, I've got stuff to do. I don't really have time to be out here because you want to be going bowling or because you're hungry. Let's go. Like, I ain't got time for that. What I'm thinking, okay, look, we want to spend some time together. Let's spend some time doing something. Let's spend some time being practical. Let's spend some time in a certain type of way. If we're both hungry, we can go out to eat. If we're both creative, then cool. Let's go to the park and whatever the thing is, or go to a camp somewhere and spend some time and get creative, or be in 100%. The studio, or whatever it is that you want to do. Like, invest the time wisely. That's more. It's more of the time thing for me. I don't necessarily like a time with people. I'm more of an introverted person in that sense. But like, if I know I can vibe with you, and I know that me and you spending time together is benefiting both of us, I'm more than willing to give that time out there. I didn't spend a lot of time dating because I looked and saw what I wanted, and that thing eventually presented itself, and I approached. And that was the end of it. I've been here for 17 years. It's like it's not. Like, for me now, thank you. But for me now, I'm just looking at it from a practical sense. Like, actually, you know what? I'm invested in this or that person, and they're doing this for me, this, that, and the third for me. So I'm like, cool. Well, this is the reason why I'm going to invest this time. So for dating, it gives you a different mindset. And again, dating 20 years ago and dating now is completely different. Because the whole social media thing has blown the thing way out of proportion. You know, we're at the Shard now. And da da da. So now it's about the Instagram moments that you can collect 100%. In order to, let's get away from all of that and let's actually spend some time with each other. Because when the doors are closed and your internet is down and you can't talk anymore and your sex is dried up and all that kind of foolishness, what are you really doing?
These are my foolish.
Let me jump in. Ricky's got me gassed. You got me gassed. Look, I'm going to break it down really simply. So I don't want to, like, everyone's talking about some really good things. For me, dating is try before you buy. Now, my wife's going to hate that I said that, but I was upfront with all the women before I met my wife. I'd say, look, I'm seeing two other girls. I'm also seeing you. There's no expectations. If we're going out and I'm paying for the meal, then I'm going to probably expect that because I just paid for you to eat. I don't pay for lots of people to eat. You know what I mean? So when I met my wife and I realized, boom, this girl's nice. I like her. On the third day, I approached her. She kept it real. She said, listen, you like me. I like you. We're going to see each other. We're going to see how it goes. We're going to keep things casual. No expectations, no labels about boyfriend, girlfriend. But it's completely exclusive. What you said, and I was like, okay. And I was like, well, someone just told me what I've been going around spouting out to all these different women. They put it on me, and I was like, little boy time. Okay, and like, That's how we started things. We're 11 years on. We're married. We've got a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, we went on a journey. We went on a journey, yeah? We went on a journey of discovery where I could share everything with her. She knows everything about me. Bad, good, ugly, and the disgusting. Mm-hmm. It helped me understand who I am by saying that to someone and realizing, boom, okay, this is an issue that I haven't told no one else about in my life. I'm walking around, you know, defensive or introvert, because I'm always introvert, you know, always lacking in confidence. Really, I've learned from being with someone who knows who they are, they've taught me to be who I am, and now I'm here talking about this stuff. But I think dating, I think it's all labels, and I think it's a lot of pressure on people, and I think we started it off the same, having a discussion, no expectations, okay? Mm. I'm going to trial this. If I don't like it, I'll cancel my subscription.
Yeah. 100%. I'm not mad at you for that.
No.
I'm not mad at you for that, Carl. I know, and I agree with that. I think even as a Christian woman, I think we need to dispel some myths in Christendom in that, you know, if I'm dating, I'm not the kind of person that dates more than one guy at a time. I just can't. That's just not how I'm made. But, and no judgment to women, you know, women who do that. But for me, you know, if I'm dating you from January to March, and then in March, I'm feeling like, boy, do you know what? We're really not connecting. And I meet someone on April the 1st, and boy, I want to pursue something. I'm going to date you, and I'm going to, you know, like what Nicholas said, try and get to know who that person is. And I think it is about try before you buy, because for me, I am looking for marriage. I'm not no Kardashian. I'm not trying to get divorced 400 times, and no, that's no shade on them, but I'm saying I just want to do this thing once. Do you know what I mean? Bless up to Ricky and Kyle. That's what I'm aspiring to. So for me, if it means that you got to kiss a few frogs before you find your prince. And, you know, I have kissed quite a few frogs, and that's been on my journey of dating. That's what that's been like. Do you know what I mean? I've tried it. It's not you. You're really not the one for me. So I move on. And I think that in Christianity, there's this whole thing of, you know, particularly, this whole thing of, like, you know, you meet someone, oh, you could potentially be, there's some compatibility traits there. Okay, go out a couple of days. Okay, now you're caught in. The next stage is engagement. Then you announce that in the church, and then boom, white wedding. And it's too much pressure. Wow. Like, it's a lot, you know, and I think.
And do you know what? I'm going to say, it goes off to what you said yesterday about people seeing Christianity as a religion and not, like, I don't have to explain it. And with the whole Christian dating, it really, and I know a lot of people, I'm going to, again, I say what it is, but I can't date a church girl. And what I mean by a church girl, as in, like, all she's, like she's stuck in the ways of the church. Rather than the ways of the Lord, if that makes sense. I can't. That's not for me. Like, I can't be with someone that's not willing to explore or look at other options. Right. Or, like, no, but my pastor said this. Or, well, this is how it's done in my church. And okay, that's fine, cool.
Fixed mindset.
Pardon?
It's like a fixed mindset.
And I can't do that. And I feel like that's what makes the whole. Because I'm thinking, you never hear of Muslim dating or Sikh dating, but so why do they think of a Christian dating? Like, dating is dating.
Yeah.
whatever you put Christian in front of it, it's still dating.
Yeah.
And I thought it goes, and what you just said, you know, it goes off with the whole thing of, like, a lot of pastors, a lot of church don't want their sheep to be sinning, or it's just like, okay, the quicker we get them married, the less time they'll have to, like, fornicate or fall in temptation. Yeah. But why can't you just teach them that, look, this is what needs to be done, this is the correct way to do things, and then trust in your teaching that they will abide by that teaching, or the Holy Spirit will be within them. And that's a lot of
rush. I agree with
to meet someone, date someone, and quickly rush their wedding, because then at least if they're tempted, at least they're married, they can do what they need to do. But it shouldn't be like that. You know, like you said, it's all about growth.
I think it is all about growth. And I think even in touching on that, the whole, you know, the temptation, The reality is, if you're caught in someone, dating, whatever term you want to use, and the temptation is there, it's really down to the individual, you know, if they subscribe to a Christian faith, like I do, like, it's, you know, it's down to you whether you want to adhere to that. And if you, and I think that also as well, like, you know, because Christianity is a, it's a choice. God don't, you know, he ain't coming with the Beretta holding it to your head, saying, serve me, like, it's a choice, do you know what I mean? Mm. And so, you know, we choose to apply God's word to our lives as believers of Christ. And so I think in terms of that whole succumbing to that unnecessary pressure to advance on a journey that you're not even, you're still at crawling stage and they want you to be at sprinting stage, like, I think that within itself can do way more harm to your relationship and to your marriage long term, you know, if you get that far, then really could actually imagine, because it's that whole thing of, it's almost as though you are robbed of the opportunity to grow together organically. And I think also the focus is on, we're getting married so that we don't fornicate. When the reality is that you're human beings, and if you do, you know, we call it in the church, if you do slip up and you fornicate and, you know, you try the ting, you get like, God ain't going to strike you down and send you to hell. It's not that deep. We're humans. He's given us sex drives. The sex drive is exactly. Like, we're not going to, do you know what I mean? Like, God, it's, I don't believe in that whole thing of, you got to pray your sex drive away. Like, bun that. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? I feel like, yeah, you understand? Like, I don't believe in the cold showers. I don't believe in, let me pray and put on a sermon all throughout 24 hours whilst I'm sleeping, let that thing seep in my spirit. Like, God will allow you to feel that thing and ride that thing out. Do you understand? Oh, excuse the pun, but like, it's that whole thing of, so what if you do slip up? And I think I want to touch on that, because there are people that listen to my podcast who are engaged, who are in relationships and stuff like that. And they, you know, there is this whole condemnation thing if you do sleep with your partner. Do you know what I mean? I think at the end of the day, like, if it happens, it happens. It doesn't detract from the sanctity of your relationship and soon to be marriage. I don't think that it's something that pastors should cause, you know, their members to feel guilty or ashamed about. I think that trying to resist the temptation of sleeping with your partner before marriage is very real, and it's a challenge for every single person. Like, do you know what I mean? And kudos to those who are able to do it and stay pure, as they say, until their wedding night. And kudos to those who are trying and slip up and still make it to the wedding day. Like, do you know what I mean? And so I just wanted to kind of touch on that, because
just to chime in on there as well, Jesus, like, you know what's mad is that I personally know at least three couples that got married around about the same year, shy one or two of as me, and they waited until that time, and now got to the point, all the boxes were ticked and everything was nice and rare, and they got to the wedding night, and then it was just like, oh, okay, cool, so this is sex, and then that was it, and then it just became a progression from then. But like, you know, we're not actually not sexually compatible, which is the maddest thing, because you get to the wedding, night.
I think that's the topic
find out later on that you're not even sexually compatible. That's the mad thing.
I will call you, Mr. Liquid,
I'll make it work anyway.
I can't lie, just in response to that,
100%. You make sure it's cool.
The ashes and speaking in tongues for all manner of 365 years, and that will not be the case for me, because the Lord knoweth, you know, like that. But but yeah,
and you are regular scheduled.
You know,
for fun. It's when you do it, you do the thing, you step up for a second, and everything falls great up until that point. And as soon as you finish, as soon as you wrap up, you're like, oh, I love to give you people to do it. So this is
get back in bed.
You know what? I think that's the reality. That's the realness of a Christian, like, intimacy. That's the realness of a relationship with God. Like, you know, when Paul says in Romans 8, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who walk in Christ Jesus. Like, that's the reality. Like, God has removed all accusation. And I think, like, you know, there's that whole thing of, I think we serve a real God. Like, we are in a relationship with a real God. And I think that we need to dispel that myth that certain sins are bigger than others, and there's a hierarchy of sin. Like, sin is sin.
Sin is sin, man. Hell is hell.
Yeah, sin is sin, and all sin is forgiven by God. Like, that's the bottom line.
When you repent.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, when you repent, like, when you've asked God for forgiveness, then yeah, boom, that sin is forgiven. And I think in terms of the whole topic of fornication and stuff, whilst we're on that, I think that whole topic of sex outside of marriage, fornication, you know, I know of people who have been in a relationship and they've been blessed with a child out of it, and the church, you know, brought them, the pastor said, like, boom, you've got to come before the whole of the congregation, confess your sins to them and apologise and step down from all of your roles and so on and so forth. And this thing is real. Do you know what I mean? And I think just in relation to dating in the Christian world, there is too much pressure on us to find a husband, find a wife. And I love what Nicholas said. He said, when you're dating someone, you're like, it's that whole getting to know each other. Like, let me just chill and just get to know you. And I want to expose myself again, because you know I like to expose myself, but there's certain times, not so much now, but before, I'd meet a guy and, you know, he'd show interest and I'm interested, and like we've got that mutual interest, and then my mind automatically is like, oh my gosh, wedding day, my bridesmaids are gonna be wearing this colour for their bridesmaid dress, and it's this wet, and I think that is a result of the indoctrination in the church that it's all about marriage. It's all about marriage. Like, you're working towards marriage. You're working towards marriage. Do you know what I mean? And I think there is that whole, I think, you know, that is what causes us as women to, like what Ricky said earlier on, it's like our focus is marriage, not like finding a life partner that we will marry. Like, do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I kind of feel like I went off on a tangent, but it was a good point, and that's that. And but yeah, back to the questions, guys. I just got a few more from the ladies. You guys have kind of touched on it with the Instagram point, but one of the questions was, are men into Instagram baddies? Are they looking for, like, what kind of women are they looking for? One of the points that kind of came to me when I was preparing for this was, are they looking for wholesome women or women who are superficial and are yet to develop the substance required to be a life partner and wife?
For me, I would say that men, obviously, we always kind of look, like, when it comes to looks and stuff like that, yes, we want a beautiful wife. However, it can't just be her beauty that attracts us. And so when you think about the Instagram baddie, cool, she may look appealing. But again, it's more than actually just your looks. Again, men, you have to connect on an emotional level. You have to be able to speak to this person. You have to be able to develop with this person. And I feel that men aren't just looking for, we are looking for the wholesome. We are looking for a girl that can cook, a girl that can...
Come on,
careful,
bro.
I say loud and proud. You are looking for a girl that can cook. You are looking for a girl that we're able to speak to, able to actually, she's able to motivate us, we're able to motivate her. You understand? We're looking for a person who we're able to, again, like, to grow together with, not a person who just cool, because she's beautiful, we're having to do everything in terms of cool, meet the requirements for the conversation we have. She'll be giving one word answers, and we're just there. Giving one word answers, and we're there talking. It's like she's not paying attention. We need a person who's balanced. That's what I feel, and that's what men look for, a person who's balanced.
Yeah, 100%. You know, like they, there's that saying, isn't it, that they, and like, yeah, I'm going to say it. I'm just real like that. But there's that saying where they say how men want a lady outside, but like a freak in the bed. And I think, yeah, and I think that, you know, for me, when I first heard that, for me, that encompasses a woman who presents herself well, who's able to keep her home and is a helper to her husband and supports her husband and you know, and has decorum and knows how to present herself outside. But then not just on a physical level, but more so in terms of just being able to kick it and just being balanced and just keeps it real and just, do you know what I mean? Someone that really is actually like your best friend. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, you can just sit down, chill. You could be playing the PS4 or, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, and she's just there chilling with you. I think some women feel like they need to be more than who they are, but I feel like... if you're not authentic within yourself anyway, that the mask eventually is going to slip one day. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whether that be before you get the ring or after, that mask is going to slip. And so for me, I think it's just about being authentic. It's not about being like the women on Instagram. It's not about trying to replicate maybe another woman that you hold in high esteem, that, you know, in your life. It's about just being true to who you are and sitting comfortably in your identity. And I think are attracted to that. And I say that very much with my chest, because since being on my Fearlessly Free journey in like the last 5 years, I've stripped away all the religiosity and people's opinions of myself, and I've just come into alignment with who I am in Christ. It's changed the game for me, fam. I can't even lie. Like, it's changed the types of men that I attract now. Like, barring that Dutty Bungle last year, like, it's changed the game. And, like, the types of men that I attract now are more wholesome, are more grounded. Yeah. And, yeah, so I'm testament of, like, just be true to yourself, innit?
Amen.
Yeah. Mm. So, moving on, last question from the ladies. This is to Ricky and Nicholas. From a father's perspective, what kind of man would you like your daughter to marry, and what guidance would you give her when she embarks on her dating journey?
Cool. So for me, I want a person who is, again, responsible, who understands that their actions and what they intend to do. Certain times I feel that there's people who are, like I said before, boys and not men, in terms of, cool, I'm going to do this. And for me, I'm only catering to myself. So a person who's willing to take responsibility for what he's doing, a person who's a leader, but also a person who's able to, obviously, being Christ as well, 100%, I think that's the, for me, obviously, I'm a Christian. I definitely believe a person who obviously loves God, and I believe that even his love for God will challenge him to actually love her better. I know, obviously, in certain instances, it doesn't always pan out that way. Mm-hmm. Obviously, your example, Selena, like you said. But yeah, the advice I'll give her is that, honestly, to be herself, but also understand that your authority is the word of God. And for me, I would encourage her to actually don't go against your principles and the things you grew up with. So regarding things like, if the guy's talking about like wanting to have sex, stand firm. So certain girls, because they feel like the wedding day is going to come eventually, I'm going to slip it up here, you understand? Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to give in into different areas just because I know I may be married in the future.
Yeah.
No, actually, stand on the word of God.
Ricky?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the kind of person that I'd like my daughter to be with, I just want there to be a good reflection of her. That's why it's my job as a dad to be on it with developing a queen. Because if she goes out into that world and she starts to be attracted to things that are, that are directly opposing who she is as a person. There's somewhere that I've messed up. And I have to take my accountability, and I have to make sure that I'm always checking in with my wife and making sure I'm checking in with her, her directly, to make sure that everything is still in line with how it's supposed to be. And obviously, we're all going to see certain things that might intrigue us and might attract us, but you ask yourself why these things are happening, and you make the necessary adjustments. And in terms of having someone connect with her, it has, that person has to be a reflection of her. A person has to be the counterpart. It's the, it's the other side of it. It's the yin and the yang. It's the good and the bad. All that kind of stuff. Everything has to be within balance. I want her to have someone that is able to help her, to assist her, to build her up. And sorry, not even just to start, but to continue to do those things, because it's already started from home for me. You know, by the time she gets, she goes out there and she's meeting people, she should already have a certain standard that she will not drop down, and she knows her own limitations and her own compromises, where she's willing to go and where she isn't willing to go, what she's willing to take, what she isn't willing to take, and have those things in place and in principle that certain things can't even come next to her, can't even approach her, because you've got that authority about you already, that the certain things just not going to cross you, it's not going to cross your path, and if it does, then you know exactly how to deal with it, you know. And I, and another thing, just to touch on that as a final point, I have to be the best person that I can be, so she has a good image to start from. Then if I'm not there first, if I'm not giving her that, then I've kind of failed as a father as well. And that's not something I'm prepared to do. Like, failing as a father, I'm prepared to. I've got two sons as well, so I have to make sure that they have the levels in which she needs to go out there and see a reflection of as well.
Thank you, guys. Those were really solid answers.
We're kind of coming to a close now. What nuggets do you have for us? What words of encouragement to kind of give us hope, because it's peak at it, you know what I mean? But from, like, we want to hear from you guys. You guys are phenomenal men. Like, you really encouraged me today. Just in closing, what would you say to us women?
I'm going to jump in this car, because if I don't, my wife's going to kill me. I definitely would not say I'm phenomenal in any way, but I say to women, listen to this, like, set clear boundaries, and don't stand for any rubbish. All the guys have said it before, nip it in the bud, address it early, and if a guy is a certain way, you either accept it or you move on. I think there are good people out there that are looking for a relationship, but I think you've got to take it down.
That's great, man.
So talk to that guy on the train. You know, the worst thing is that you never know what could happen. You know what I mean? So just try it and see what happens. So I think everyone today has come on the same goal of kind of getting rid of some myths and legends, but also, you know, being accountable for, yes, men make mistakes, but also I think today we've all stood the same ground of women need to be accountable as well. I'm glad that we all came with the same vibe, and not even on a defensive level. We're just keeping it factual. We're all human beings. We all make mistakes. So moving forward, I'd like to continue this discussion with the same people in this group, because I think it's good for me to talk about it and get different perspectives on it, and then hopefully educate other people. So thank you for inviting me today. Fearlessly free.
Big up yourself.
Yeah, Selena, we should have our own weekly slots on your podcast.
Okay, guys. I guess that's something that we could discuss. Yeah, for sure.
I'll get my agents to come all and right contact then. You.
Negotiations.
Oh, dear. Nicholas, do you have any closing remarks?
Yeah, I would just say, before entering into a relationship, or actually even wanting to pursue a relationship, know your identity. Know who you are. Find that in Christ. And I'm a Christian. I definitely believe that's born in Christ. Also, understand what you're getting yourself into in terms of what marriage is, and whether or not you want to pursue that. Because at the end of the day, some people aren't meant to be married, and that's facts. Some people are. So also understand that. Be open and honest with when you get into a relationship. Don't be someone who you're not. Because when you do that, then you end up messing yourself up.
There is someone out there for you if you actually want to get married, but it's more so you actually being yourself, because you don't want to get married to the wrong person. And that's, and you know that so many people have been divorced, so that's not what we're going to see. But we again want to thank the guys, want to thank Celine for having me on the show as well. I really appreciate it. God bless.
Oh, bless you. Yes, bless
love,
you.
Love for that, love for that, love.
And I just want to add one thing to all my beautiful women out there. When it comes to, like, choosing someone or trying to date a guy, his relationship with God would give you all the answers you need. Mm. And it just goes back to the phrase of husband, love your wife as God loved the church. And it's just one of them ones, like, if you love God and you have a good relationship with God, because after all, God is love. So if you have a good relationship with God, then that's going to transmit onto you. And yeah, don't compromise your belief for a guy. Don't make an excuses for a guy. If you have your standard, never, ever lower your standard. The guy has to match your the guy has to match your standard or above, or you leave. Don't lower your standard for anyone. Because once you start to do that, you start to make excuses for everything else.
Ricky, anything from you? Pastor Ricks.
You're funny. No, I just want to say big up yourself, everybody, man. Like, everyone's come on the same wave, and everyone's just kind of, you know, not necessarily tired of hearing the same thing, but kind of trying to change the narrative, which I think is beautiful, man, which is great. So all the men, and big up yourself, Selena, big up yourself for allowing us to be on your platform.
Of
and obviously, you know, a whole bunch of women that are dealing with the same issues that we're talking about. So to give them some encouragement, like, I feel like fear has been a blockage in a lot of our lives. But there's a saying that says, he who fears, he will suffer, because he already fears. So my thing is to not fear and to just go out there and do exactly what it is that you need to do. Enjoy yourself. Don't be fearful of things. If things go wrong, you learn how to maneuver. And just be real with yourself, be open with yourself, and just move forward. Always move forward. Love yourself first. And that's how we'll be able to change the world and change everyone around us, man.
100%.
Love that.
Thank you so much. Amen.
No, for me, coming from a background of being there, like, being there, done it, and obviously now trying to settle down and find someone. For me, the advice I'll give to the women is just, I think someone said already, like, take that gamble. If you go through life trying to be careful, or it's the same process of when you pray for a miracle, that miracle's not going to happen to you. You have to take necessary steps. Put yourself there, you know, if that's maybe going out more or mingling more, or whatever you have to do to just let people know that you're available in that department. Then, you know what I mean? Like, favour fortunes the brave, you know. If you take that step and
say that bit that again, Emmanuel.
Favour fortunes the brave. Is that what the saying is?
Yeah.
You never know. You just never know. And also, just trust your instincts. And I feel like a lot of the time, is when we that instincts we feel within us, that's the spirit of the Lord telling us something. You know, we don't have to hear him loud and clear, like, don't do it. Sometimes the gut feelings that we feel is the spirit trying to tell us something. So trust your instincts, trust yourself, and never, ever, ever compromise your beliefs for anyone.
100%. Amen.
Done out all the games, like the games with the Saturday Day business, with the games, take Mrs. Games,
loud the games.
Yeah.
100%.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Oh, guys, it's been amazing show today. Like, this definitely is not the last. You've all contributed so many enlightening and thought-provoking points, and my prayer is that, you know, the seeds that you've sown today, because I really do feel like they are seeds of wisdom, enlightenment, I just really pray that they will really just be the catalyst for the beginning of many women's healing. You know, because having you guys on the show today, you've proven that
not all men are dogs. I think that the fact that you've been able to encourage me and just shed some light on some of the reasons as to why some men behave the way that they do, it's really encouraged me in that, do you know what, there is hope, and you've also given me the nuggets on what to look out for. And also you've reminded me that I don't need to compromise in who I am as well. She's really just reaffirmed me as a woman, as a queen. So I just wanted to say, bless up yourselves, big up yourselves. It's been amazing. Until we meet again, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.